Mike, I'm not in the game anymore. I'm not an actor.
Are you off the game? Are you off your game?
I haven't been doing vocal warm-ups on a daily basis.
Do you not have game?
I don't think I've got game. I think she's got game. I think you've got game. I don't think I got game. So yeah, that's why
you have a drink though.
Yeah, it's a
I haven't even tried this yet. Have you had a sip?
No, I was late.
This is called the Gypsy.
Ooh.
It's an actual cocktail, not just something I pulled out of my...
The minute you pulled out Saint Germain and chartreuse and something else.
Gin.
I kind of had a feeling it was a real gin. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was
so
a very
we'll
good.
See here.
It tastes like an old Frenchman.
Oh, I like that.
Wow, that keeps going. Yeah. That's got a long finish. Holy Ooh. Crap. Ooh, that is not a chugging drink.
No. Well, this is a really strong drink.
It's three liquors.
Yeah.
and lime juice. That's the only thing.
The gin is like the lightest thing in there. But yeah, nice. it's a gin and two liqueurs,
mm-hmm.
Which are both probably around 35-40% alcohol.
Very nice.
So yeah, it's a good, stiff, but refreshing drink.
It is, yeah. Like, I could almost imagine drinking this out on a patio in the summer.
I know. Sipping...
Very slowly, with a tall glass of water beside it.
I dig this, man. This is tasty. It's got definitely a lot of the citrus from the lime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, a lot of lime juice that we use.
And we only used half of it between the two drinks.
I know.
I'm telling you, you picked the fucking most perfect lime. Like, when I juice a lime...
Well, now I know what to look for, because I didn't know anything about limes. But I was like, this it called to me. This lime, it's speaking to me. Saying...
Did the Peter Jackson effect kick in where, like, your peripheral vision faded away and then, like, a spotlight zoomed in, like, it appeared on this light and then you heard the angelic...
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, okay, yeah. That would actually be a really funny thing if a grocery store had that and, like, it was proximity triggered. So if you went up to look at the fucking sumo oranges or whatever, it's just spotlights on them.
Yeah, so I stopped. I called and I asked you if you had a lime. Because you're the kind of guy that I think might have limes sometimes.
That's you a safe do. Assumption. Yeah, sometimes I have limes.
Now you have half a lime now.
I have a lime now, Smike. You should have called me now. I would have said yes. I have half a lime.
I'm gonna have to get one. But yeah, so I stopped at Tops because I'm in a hurry.
Ah, where is
you
Tops?
Want to go to Tops because there's nobody there. So sad.
You don't have to put makeup on to go to Tops like you do at
the
Pittsburgh
Regiments. No, I'm
wearing
sweatpants and I fit in perfectly. I'm a schlode tonight.
Why is this guy dressed up so much?
I know. Oh. No, Tops is sad. So for people in the area know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
People out of the area. We have a couple of supermarket chains.
Local chains.
Yeah, Wegmans... You know, you can't really even call Wegmans a local chain anymore because they're really expanding out of the state.
Well, Danny's father, Bob Wegman, had gentlemen's deals, gentlemen's agreements, kind of unofficial.
I think those are starting to evaporate.
Well, that's what happened is, I mean, Bob died. But he had these gentlemen's agreements with all these other local, you know, other kind of higher end markets. And then Bob died and then Danny kind of checked out and let his daughters take over. And I think they're just like, fuck it, we're going for broke. So now they're just working their way down the seaboard.
Yep. So... Yeah, Wegmans is for the, like, two of you who don't know. That's being optimistic. Well, like, maybe half of a person doesn't know out there.
Hey, half of you doesn't know. Ask the other half.
So, yeah, Wegmans is the upscale chain.
It is a food market.
Food market?
You could not call it a grocery store.
Do they really...
Yeah.
They enforce that? You can't, like, if you're working there, if you say supermarket, like,
they will,
they
if
beat
you. If you look at the promotional materials, they will commonly refer to themselves as a food market. They are not a grocery store. Tops is a grocery store.
Tops is a grocery store. There's no, yeah. No.
I've sung you Erica's little jingle from childhood, right?
Maybe.
You know the Tops theme?
Something Tops never mops.
Yeah, it's so Tops never mops. Look at the floors. But I don't know what the original one was. Tops never stops. Look at the price or something like that. I don't know what it was. I only know hers. Actually, for all I know, that is their own self-effacing jingle. I've never heard it. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
S. Michael Smith, and you are?
M. Michael Carassi with a delicious drink in my hand.
Mm.
And you and I, separately, 100% separately, completed an assignment.
Are we jumping into this now?
Well, we could kvetch a little bit more.
I was going to say, I don't know how Topps is staying in business. At yeah. least not in this look. I'm talking about the one in Fairport, which is close to us.
There's one in Fairport?
Yes. It's like oh, down yeah, the road yeah. from Wegmans. It's literally, if you
wanted to go... It's in the plaza, the really sad plaza.
Yeah, or the yeah. good Indian restaurant.
Yes, the only good thing about that plaza.
Yeah, this is kind of a sad plaza.
It's a sad plaza. You walk around, you're just like, I feel depressed. Yeah. It's like the zombie apocalypse mall.
It's like something, from, like some leftover from the 60s or 70s, maybe.
A better time.
Yeah, well. And the problem with Tom's is just, it's so generic.
Yeah.
It has no character. Nobody really seems to care. I went there, and it was like there were maybe a dozen cars in the parking lot. Maybe.
And it's a full-size grocery store.
It's a full-size grocery yeah. store. And I know if I'd gone over to Wegmans, the parking lot would be still hopping. Be full right now. It'd be hopping. It'd be crazy.
Because packed. Everyone goes to Wegmans after work to get dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, that place is between 5 and 7, that place is slammed.
So, of course, I'm like on the way. I got to grab a line real fast. So, I got to Topps. I'm in and sense. Out, and there's no line. but it's sad. I can't imagine that one's going to stay open for that much longer with that little business that they seem to get.
I'm sure, like, on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings, they're busy.
Couldn't they do something, though? I mean, you know, jazz it up. Just give the place a little bit. Do something.
That takes money. I mean, some, jazzing it up?
I don't know. Have people, like, wear costumes or...
I don't, what?
I don't know. I'm spitballing here.
Should have a guy twirling a sign like, come drop a dog.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's something.
I was mocking you just now. That was me mocking.
Okay, but that's an affordable thing they could do. It's a little hey, Bill, cold for that right
hey,
now.
Hey, Bill, go put the purple gorilla suit on and go twirl a sign.
You know what? If they started doing purple gorilla themed stores... then I think that would pay off in spades for them.
Does your business need a boost? Hire Buddies in Space Promotional Marketing LLC. Mr. Top, Mrs. Top, we think that Top Supermarkets needs purple gorillas. We're just seeing purple gorillas everywhere. Smike, I think you're better at explaining this.
Well, have you been to a grocery store with purple gorillas?
I haven't.
Would you like to?
Sure.
Yeah, that was the right answer, and you hesitated way too long when you said that. I'm sure it was just a shock of thinking, oh my gosh, I could actually go to a grocery store with purple gorillas.
Okay,
and that momentary shock just gave me
I was overwhelmed.
Pause.
You there can't see my face, but I was overwhelmed with glee
yes.
at the thought of shopping surrounded like gorillas in the mist, but purple.
There we go.
Call today.
or
don't. And
do something, though. Do something.
Well, so the problem is, and I remember I read an article about Wegmans years ago during the recession and how they were still doing okay, even with their prices, because, you know, they're not the cheapest, like Tops. And the problem
Tops
is...
Tops isn't that much less expensive, though. They're really not.
Well, because groceries just aren't that cheap.
Yeah.
But part of the problem is that the grocery, you know, retail model is not big ticket profit. You know what I mean? Like, it's very, very small increments of profit, like pennies on a product.
Yeah, but they're like, they're hot bar stuff. That's like, the profit margin on that's got to be tremendous.
Yeah, the waste is probably high, too. But I'm you're right, the price
and
profit. I
think that's one of their biggest profit centers right now.
Well, they also do a lot of their own branding stuff. That's very profitable. Yeah. Anything generic, because people, you know, shop for Wegmans, and Wegmans is slowly phasing out more and more name brands to make room for their own brands.
Anyway, we're not talking about purple gorillas anymore, so I'm bored.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
See, that's how good purple gorillas would be.
I was going to say, that's how you transition off of purple gorillas.
Yes. So, speaking of purple gorillas, we both just recently... finished watching a thing.
Yes. Now, if you have not seen the OA on Netflix,
yeah, are we going to just full on spoil it?
I think we have to spoil it. There's no way not to.
All right. So you are being completely thoroughly warned here.
Yeah. If you have not seen the OA, just fucking go watch it.
Go watch it.
It is literally start to
got
finish.
Netflix.
7 hours long, start to finish.
I thought it was a little longer.
No, because the last three episodes are significantly shorter.
Okay.
It's like hour, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes.
Okay.
By the way, I would like to start off by saying the OA is the perfect example of what I was talking about with them filming these as movies.
Okay.
The OA is the least episodic thing I've seen yet. It is just randomly stopped for an episode length. And at the end of it, they were just like, man, we're not going to bother. In 30 minutes.
Okay. I sort of take issue with that because there were clear stopping points. Mm-hmm. I mean, they definitely did like some cliffhanger-y endings of the episodes.
I could have chopped it up differently and gotten 12 episodes out of it, and it would have been just about as cliffhanger-y.
All right.
And I read an article at the time. Read an article whose headline was, "The OA is the most important 7-hour movie filmed in 2016."
Okay, I can buy that.
I just thought it was very interesting. We had that conversation, yeah. And then I watched The OA, and I'm like, this is exactly what I'm fucking talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I'm not championing that. I'm simply saying.
But that's just the way things have.
I see where things are heading. Yeah.
Or the way where they currently are anyway.
Yeah, and we are in that weird. Maybe maybe they'll turn around. Maybe it'll
evolve.
Be like
they can evolve.
Yeah. Maybe they'll realize, oh shit, we need to get back to the people. It's too alien to people to not have an episodic structure. We need to write more towards that. Could happen. But what I see right now is Netflix gives someone a bunch of money and says, go film this all at once.
Yep.
And then we'll drop it all at once. And that just starts feeling like a movie in implementation.
So, the OA, spoilers are starting now.
So we assume you stopped and came back after watching it. So welcome back.
All right. There are some points in this where people, a good portion, maybe not the majority, but a good portion of people watching it are going to be like, nope, I'm stopping. I can't go there with this.
I've talked to people who stopped at episode one,
stopped after episode one? But I loved episode one.
I know. My mom couldn't get past episode one. She's like one of three people, all women, I believe, who all said the same thing. Yeah.
Because I loved episode one. That was my favorite part of the whole series. When you're in the first episode, and like all this stuff, you're like getting all the sort of confused backstory from mm-hmm. this person as she's like showing back
just
up in her hometown.
Pure exposition, like just nonstop.
And you're like picking things up all of a sudden. Yeah. Like, oh, and when they quickly, the parents are so freaked out because she can see and she was blind when they last saw
her. Which isn't something you realize right away.
Yeah, I know. And there's like little cool moments like that.
Oh, yeah. They roll those out very well.
But then you get to the point where she's talking, she gets these people, the group, the gang of five, or whatever you mm-hmm. want to call them.
The gang of five.
Yeah. She gets
her
people
are calling
group.
Them on the internet?
I don't know.
No, it's just funny. The gang
That's
of
what
five.
I'm calling it.
Okay.
The gang of five.
We will now, they will henceforth be known as the gang of five.
So she's got her gang of five, which is a really, mishmash crew of students and a teacher, mm-hmm. I guess.
Which was a great dynamic and a very interesting casting choice because she was on The Office. She's a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Actress.
Yeah.
Once again, proving that get a comedic actress in a semi-dramatic role and you can get interesting stuff out of her.
Yeah, I think she's probably, she might be the most interesting character in the show. But we can get to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they were all interesting in their own way.
They're
she
all
did a really good job, but she's also not a kid.
Steve gets on my fucking nerves so much.
I think in some ways he did a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve, the character got on your nerves or the guy playing Steve?
A little of both because I mean, and I think that all comes down to the writing. I think the guy did a great job with it, but the writing just put him so far over the top sometimes.
Sometimes, but other times, anyway.
I saw what they're going. But we're in the first episode, and all this stuff's been going on. She gets these people in the abandoned house, and then she starts telling her story.
Mm-hmm.
And then the credits roll, yeah. And you're like,
15 minutes
what?
Into the first episode, and then
and
you're
then
in fucking
we're
Russia.
We're in Russia!
You're like, what?
Oh my God, and I love that. That was, I think that was my favorite moment of the show.
It's
really, very, very nice cinematography of mm-hmm. And I assume it was Russia. I mean, it didn't have to be, but it could have been.
If it wasn't, they did a really good job approximating.
It looked Russia.
It wasn't Toronto standing in for New York. Like, it felt legitimate, what I mean? Yeah, no, I'm totally with you so far. They set up a lot really well. So one critique I heard from a friend was.
Yeah, why would you check out after that?
Too much talking. I know. I don't agree. But this is when I really thought about this, and I don't think you saw any of this shit I put on Facebook. I was like, why do people hate the ending? Like, just tell me. Private message me on Facebook. I want to know why people, because so many people are upset about the ending, and I did not understand.
Really?
Eric and I were both like, why were people upset about this?
Okay.
And we'll get there.
We'll get there.
But, so people are giving me their critiques, but there was like one person like, it's just too much talking, it's just too much exposition, and I'm like, we all know I fucking love that shit.
I know, and you guys have been watching Man in the High Tower.
We finished the first season, Man in the High Castle.
A Man in the High Castle, yeah. Sorry. And OA probably pales in comparison to the to where that is.
The Man in the High Castle could have learned a lot from the OA. Because The Man in the High Castle has some serious pacing issues and some very inconsistent characterization, especially with one character in particular, who like is sort of all over the board and he's pretty important to the plot. And you're like, what are his motivations? Because he's just sort of will-o'-the-wisp. You know, it's a really bad characterization.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it was the actor wasn't strong, but the writing was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it much worse than Steve. Like, he was their Steve.
Okay.
Who I very much get is polarizing. So, yeah. So, the Man in High Castle could have looked at that. And they're doing Philip K. Dick, right? So, it's a tall order, and it's a very dense book. And what did they say? There's 19 plot lines in the first 15 pages. I was reading an article with the showrunner who left of Man in the High Castle. Anyway, so the OA, when I distilled it down, I boiled it down. I had a lot of conversations with people, which is fun, right? It's like nice to have interesting conversations that aren't political because then people aren't as right.
Oh, God, yes.
Like it was refreshing to use Facebook correctly for that, I mean. But when it came down to it, the word I kept coming back to when it came to the OA was that it was very brave.
I agree.
And not in a... You know, you go, girl, you're brave for doing that. It's like it is brave because there are moments when it is just batshit crazy.
Yes.
And you think to yourself, there's no way a show could be carried by this mechanic. No.
Yet it's like crucial. It is so crucial.
It's so, and of course, and we must be talking about the same thing.
We're talking about the movements.
Right. The movements.
Which is, I mean, it's literally interpretive dance.
It is everything you've ever seen made fun of. By artistic characters in movies, that kind of modern interpretive stuff.
Yeah.
It is that, and it is integral to the plot.
It is. It's
and it looks just as ridiculous.
I mean, you have to get past it. You can't, like, say, I don't want to think about that. Mm-hmm. You can say, I like it except for that.
No. Not only that it wasn't integral, they made you excited by it. You're like, oh my God, they're going to learn more of the dance. I'm so fucking, where's the next movement? Oh my God, where's the fifth one? Oh fuck, where is it? Dear God.
And there was a great moment when they got the fifth one.
I know, and you knew how it was going to play out too, right after they got it.
I was like, I mean, I was literally watching this on the edge of my seat the whole time.
Yeah, I know. I don't think I picked up my cell phone very many times, except to look people up, because it had a lot of random people that we recognized. Just random. I mean, the woman from The Office, Jason Isaacs, the bad guy, Hap.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in tons of shit.
Okay. I think I've seen him on commercials lately.
Probably. I mean, he was the lead in Awake. He was the bad guy in The Patriot. He's been around. He's been around. Okay, so great start. First episode, very gripping.
Yes.
Right? They didn't do the amnesia thing, which is very common with these kind of storylines.
Yeah.
Like, she knew exactly what happened to her, and she says it, like, I remember everything.
Yeah.
And I'm just not telling people.
One of those cool points in the first episode that you didn't think about until they kind of call back to it in a few episodes later was when she steps into her old house, and she feels the carpet with her feet.
Yeah, with her feet.
Yeah. And then I think it's like the second or third episode where they show her as a young girl coming in and
feeling it for the first time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because she touched the mom's face. And that was that weird moment because that's right before they tell you she was blind. You're like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
What the fuck is she doing that?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So, okay. So, brave.
Yes.
And pretty much from the second episode is where it got brave.
What happened in the second episode?
So the first episode was interesting and a little groundbreaking, and I was like, okay, the credits are 50 minutes in. Mm-hmm. They're being very selective with what they're telling you. It's all very deliberate. I'm into it. And then the second episode is the little girl. She dies.
Oh, right.
And then they
go to the room.
Whatever the fuck her name was.
Yeah.
Kanu. I don't remember her name was.
Katu. Kashun or something like that.
We'll call her Kanu. We'll call her Keanu. So suddenly she's in this astral plane and it's a shed.
Yeah.
And this
is an aside. One of your Christmas gifts to me was this dino pet, which is a basically an aquarium, a little aquarium shaped like a dinosaur.
Because inside of it are...
bioluminescent plankton.
Which are called dinoflagellates.
Dinoflagellates, yes. So the cool thing about this, and that when you showed me, when you gave it to me, is that in the dark, they light up. And you like kind of shake it around a little bit, jostle it. And
they weren't at full strength when I gave it to you.
Right.
I'm hoping they're there now.
They're fine. They're okay. Fine. They're doing fine.
No, but I mean, I hope they're brighter because the colony should have propagated enough, so you should get more brightness now out of it.
Well, they're getting there. Still? I fed them today. They're fine.
Oh, it's supposed to be in 4 weeks. All right. Well, they keep getting brighter. That's cool.
I keep changing that. You know, I had the more liquid in it than you had.
Yeah, see, it lasts longer, but it's less bright.
The colony's doing fine.
Good. Don't I'm glad worry. To hear that because they were a fucking stressful colony of dinoflagellates to take care of. So I was like, oh God, what? Oh my, did they get too much? Like, there was one point where I had it set up so there was a tissue box in front of them. So they were getting light, but not direct sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as the day moved on, the sun got past the tissue by like half an inch. And I looked and I was like, ah, and there was like a sliver of light shining on the dinosaur. I was like, fuck. And I like ran over to it, slow-mo style, diving to like reorient it. Anyway, so I know where you're going with this.
They're
so good.
Fine, Mama Bird.
I'm not a helicopter parent.
So, and somehow or another, we were talking about the OA at the same time, because I'd seen it and you hadn't.
Right.
And I said something like, oh, that reminds me of the OA, sort of. Or, there was a comment about that.
Okay. About the present?
Yeah, about the lighting up thing and that how that related
to
the
OA. Oh, so I'd given it to you. Okay, yes. Okay, gotcha.
Anyway, that was a long way to go for that.
There was no payoff.
I know, there was no payoff.
We apologize. For that, whatever that was.
There was some comment we made about it.
No, I know.
It was like, oh, yeah, that kind of reminds me of the OA. It's like, oh, things light up in the OA? And yeah. It was that scene. Look, in the room with all the little light things floating around.
I get it.
Like the dinoflagellates.
Exactly. So that room is filled with dinoflagellates.
Yes. Exactly.
That actually doesn't add anything to the story at all. So that was the point where I was like, okay. Because I had
but
read,
I thought that was cool. And I can't. I don't see why people would check out on that. But
I could see. I mean, if you watch CSI as your main show, then you'd be like, "What is this?" So in some ways, reading that really harsh article was good because I was expecting batshit crazy the whole time, and it really wasn't.
No.
So when that happened, I was like, "Oh, all right." A little weird. Katoon. That was the name. I think it was Katoon.
Okay.
Gesundheit. Thank you. Avita Zen. So when she showed up there and I'm like, oh, she took away her sight. Okay, all right. And she's back. So at that point, so we're in full spoiler territory. So let me ask you
also
a question.
That was some interesting parenting by her father. Dad, I'm having these nightmares.
That was the most Russian thing I've ever seen in my life.
I'm drowning and it's a really bad nightmare. And I'm in the water and it's
you need to go in lake and drown.
Okay, you sure about this, Dad?
This will be the only way you can get over this.
All right, it's really cold out
right
now.
Drink your vodka, go in lake.
I'm only like
underwater.
6 years.
Oh. Get your head underwater. Okay. Break ice first.
On it, I'm on
Come
it.
Come back up where ice is broken. You know who that guy was? Did he look familiar? He was in Daredevil.
Oh.
He was one of the brothers.
Okay, I've only seen like one episode.
Oh, it was season one. Oh, okay, I forget.
All right, he was in Daredevil. Great.
It's not a spoiler thing. There's just one of the characters. That was very Russian.
But you still got a sense. I went with it. But
you still got a sense that he loved his daughter.
Yeah, he's like, I am a Russian.
This is how we deal with shit.
And was he though? Fucking tough as nails.
Was he a mobster?
You got the impression that they were doing some shady stuff.
I got the impression that he was up against some tough shit. I don't know. I never really got the impression he was actually bad.
I don't know. I got the impression that he would murder people. If it was necessary.
Okay. He probably did. He had a mine, right?
He had a mine.
So there was an interesting parallel.
Yes.
To Hap and Hap's location.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. So all right, we're going to keep circling back. Were the five prisoners always angels? Or did angels come back with them in their NDEs? Or were they not even those people anymore? Were they just possessed by angels? When they came back, do you have a thought on that?
I really don't.
Okay.
I don't think it's that important. I mean, I think they have that angelic quality that they have, kind of like a Highlander thing, maybe. I don't know.
You're going like they were always that way.
It could be.
Okay.
It could be.
I mean, Erica kind of had the same reaction. She's like, I don't think I care.
I don't, honestly.
Right. I mean, that's fine. But I like to rename because she's the original angel. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, well, what is that original? How, like the original in the pantheon of angels, or original of the ones of them to die and come back? I like to read.
I don't know.
Things.
I I can go with that.
I don't have a firm theory. I don't think you could know at this point, but
I mean there's you can take a lot of
drugs like
Battlestar Galactica influence in that direction. Yeah,
that's true.
Not the best parts of Battlestar Galactica, honestly.
Probably the worst parts. Yeah. Maybe, you know what? Let's just drop that comparison.
Okay. Okay. I don't think it's crucial to
no, it's plot not. Or enjoy it's really it not. Anything. No, you're right. Okay. So
but there's a strong mythology there somewhere, and it's not all of it has been revealed to us.
Yes. Agreed. And it wasn't going to be.
Yeah.
They needed a season two.
I know. And wow, I hope they get a season two.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Anything that generates that much. I mean, Lilyhammer guy is on like probably the third season at this point, and fucking Hemlock Grove, which spun off the rails so badly after season two, got a third season, which we haven't bothered watching. So they're gonna renew it. Trust me. All anything right. that generates that much interest,
it better.
it's Netflix.
Yeah.
So okay, so by episode
and I don't
two,
think this is a huge budget show anyway.
I don't it think many of them be. Are.
I mean, cause they've got the set with the prison, and that's probably like one of the most difficult pieces to put together.
From a filming standpoint, there's only like three locations in terms of areas. There's the subdivision where the house is.
Mm-hmm. That's easy.
That's easy. and they could have built that house pretty cheaply. It's just the out frame of a house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it looked really in good shape on the inside. And I was kind of like, I feel like they built this set. And then you have the prison area. And then you have like the FBI headquarters.
Yeah, and then the school.
Oh yeah, and the school.
And then you've got like the weird room with the sparkly things,
which I was thinking about. Probably not that hard to do. Some mirrors and some lights, and then some After Effects.
Yeah. Of course, the big budget killer in it, the trip to Cuba, probably.
Yeah, because that seemed really legit.
They were in Cuba. They did. Okay. They filmed that in Cuba. Yes.
Because all the cars were right. And, yeah.
Yep. I read an interview with the actor who played Homer.
And he's a good actor. He was in Brooklyn, the movie Brooklyn.
And and this is a tough part for anyone.
I really wasn't sure he was going to pull it off initially, but he had a very good arc. I think he's a very strong actor. Like he had a really good arc to the character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he kind of did see that attraction happening and that chemistry and everything. And then the shit that happened in Cuba was just like, whoa.
That was hard, yeah.
It was hard, but it was because they had done such a good job with the relationships.
And they actually said that was one of the things that Prairie OA whatever said to introduce
the next,
that.
This thing is going to be hard to hear, and you have to understand that when you've been isolated for so many years. No, I thought it was beautiful. It was a perfectly done thing that she was so forgiving and understanding,
mm-hmm.
but then very honest about how devastated she was at the same time. So, plot-wise, it was dealing with some weird material.
Yes.
Right? And the movements thing was odd.
Odd is an understatement.
I know. I'm purposely understating.
Odd
it.
Is a tremendous understatement.
It starts
understatement.
Odd, and then it gets a little
so
bizarre.
Yeah, when they do this, Will, I think is the character's name, who died.
They all died.
I think it's Will, right? The one who died and then Hap dumped him back in and
Steve.
Said, you do this. I thought
Steve.
His name was Will.
Nope, that was Steve.
Okay, Steve?
Yeah, Homer, right. Steve, Rebecca, Prairie, and then the Cuban girl.
No, that's not Steve. Steve's the guy.
Oh, shit, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
I think his name is, we're going to say his name is Will.
I'm going to check, but I think you might be right.
It's
I'm sorry.
Will.
Okay. Go on. So Steve dies.
Will.
His name is Scott.
Scott. I knew it was an S. I was more right than you were. Thank you, wife. It starts with S. I win.
All right, fine.
Will.
Scott. So Scott,
who had
dies,
AIDS?
Had a... I didn't think it was AIDS. I don't think they said
like
it,
AIDS.
But it looked pretty...
It seemed AIDS-y.
It seemed AIDS-y. God.
Well, I can get away with that only because It's Always Sunny just did a Ridiculous episode. They'll go to a water park, and Frank... Have you ever watched It's Always Sunny?
No, I've seen a couple.
So Frank and Charlie see a kid with cancer or something. I think it's cancer. Okay, go through to the front of the line, bald and obviously sick. So Frank, they're trying to do all the rides in one day. So Frank and Charlie just start yelling at every line. They go, "He has AIDS," and Danny DeVito's just like, "I have AIDS. I have AIDS. It's not the it's pussy AIDS. I got AIDS from a pussy. Oh, it's not the gay AIDS." But this the whole episode they're just talking about having AIDS. So I'm sorry. And then they actually put fake lesions on him to get through the line faster. Oh, so I feel like at this exact moment in time, you could say AIDS-y and not even feel that bad because it's in the zeitgeist of comedy. And that's how I sleep at nights, Mike. I find ridiculous ways to justify how awful a person I am.
So Scott, what was I talking about?
Scott dies. So up to that point, we're not really sure if Prairie is just fucking insane with the movements. Because all she did was eat a fish.
She's just practicing stuff.
Yeah, no one believes her.
And she told Will to eat a thing, and he grabbed a fish that he saw. And that whole scene was really sketchy.
Who is Will?
I'm sorry. Homer. Homer just grabs a fish.
He eats a fish, and his afterlife is not nice like
his
hers.
Afterlife is very suggestive that he is a patient in a mental ward.
Yes.
And he is on the run.
But he, I mean, in
and
the
he
real
just
world.
Randomly sees an aquarium and grabs a fish.
Because he knows he has to eat seafood.
Yeah. And that part, that is like the one part more than anything else that is heavily suggesting things are not as they seem.
Yeah. But she did look him up on the internet and
yes.
He was a football player. So some yes. part of that story is true.
Yes.
And then there's the box of, as I like to call, red herrings that What's-His-Face finds like towards the end that makes them doubt her. But we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. So, yeah, they bring him in. They bring Scott in, dump him on the floor, says, "You did this."
Yeah, that's your fault.
It is your fault, not mine. I didn't.
After she, like, shoved him down the stairs and then all this other shit.
Yeah. And then they do the movements.
Only two. They only have two at that point.
They only have two.
And there's, like,
and you're
hissing.
Not even sure why. I'm like, are they I thought they were just fighting.
There's like hissing involved. And
yeah.
Like, it is weird.
I thought they were just like having this like angry moment with each other out of just frustration.
Yeah.
Yep. And that was my read on this whole
thing.
It
felt awkward to watch.
It did.
Because you're not sure what's happening. It doesn't look right.
No.
Whatever it is.
It doesn't look like anything that is from this world.
It doesn't look like anything I've ever seen in a TV show. That's
no.
for shit sure. Or a movie. And then his blood
is
bleeding
so
out over the
awkward.
Floor.
Yeah.
And then he just starts running back into his body.
Yeah.
And then he's healed. Like, completely. And he's
yes.
alive.
No AIDS, no lesions,
nope.
no nothing.
All his blood's back.
And he's, like, happy and smiling. He's like, so "I've happy. Got the third movement, guys! You were right!" And it was a great moment for me. When that finally happens, like, oh my freaking God, are you kidding me?
And that's, I think that's a pivotal moment, and I think so much of the show is deliberate, because they had to know,
yeah.
as the viewer, how difficult...
And this is another point where, like, another, you know, certain percent of the viewers are like, "No,
done.
I'm done.
This is crazy shit. Where's Law and Order? I need SVU. Give me SVU." yeah,
but I was
absolutely.
Like, yep, I'm in.
Yeah, that was one
Let's
of those
do
leaning
this.
Forward
Let's
in my
fucking
seat.
Do
like,
this thing.
Like, I don't like awkward stuff. I have difficulty getting through it. And that was one of the moments where I'm like, I can't fucking look away. I am riveted by it. I don't fucking know what's going on. It's like when you're like, friends are fighting. They don't know what to do. But I was just like staring at it. I was like, yeah, what?
It would be like if your friends were fighting and then suddenly broke out like five spoons in their hands. And then started going at each other with the spoons.
Actually, no, that would be pretty cool. Like Wolverine spoons?
But not, maybe not. Maybe something else.
No, if they started going...
can't.
If they started making cat noises at each other...
there's no appropriate metaphor for this. It's too out there.
Which is brave. Yeah. It's brave.
It's brave.
And that was one of those moments where, again, I kept going back to that article I read, and I was like, okay... I see some, at some points I get what the article is getting to about explaining the show is very difficult. Yes, you do have to wonder about why the show got made, but not for the reasons of like...
How
the show got made. How about that? Because it's so out there. I mean, very few people...
But this is Netflix,
like,
and we know what Netflix has been
doing. At this point,
doing.
Yes, we know that they'll greenlight most things. And it's a strong concept and script. But yeah, at that point, I think that's when they get the viewers that they don't lose, which are going to be a small amount at that point.
Yeah.
But the viewers they don't lose are going to be on board with the movements. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
So that was, and it had to be delivered. They had to know exactly what they were doing at that point when Brit, when the prairie, because she wrote it too.
Yes.
Her and Kat and Manji Leongra, weird name.
Yeah, I, yeah.
They had to know, like, okay, we need to really write the scene strong and have a really big pivotal moment because otherwise people are not going to buy into the movements.
Right.
So
that
weird.
Happens.
So weird. And then it happens.
Yeah. And you're like, all right, let's ride.
And then after that, it's just all about... So, okay, let me ask you another question.
Okay.
Did you find the characters she's talking to, the Gang of Five, as you referred to them?
Yeah.
Did you find them distracting? Did you find their stories distracting?
No. I really liked I liked the teacher.
Yes.
Although I had a big problem initially with why the fuck is she agreeing to any of this shit? Because, I mean, our introduction to the teacher is Prairie
the
showing
teacher,
up, pretending to be the
stepmom,
parent.
Yeah.
And, like, really, you're pretending to be this guy's parent?
Yeah.
Well, she pretended to be his stepmom.
Right.
Which is a little more
go Steve's dad.
Yeah, yeah. There was certainly that. So in that sense, I could go along with it. But then, like, she goes off on this, like, you know...
Weird.
New age.
Yeah.
Weird, touchy-feely... What are your... Why did you become a teacher? And isn't this really...
Have you lost your way?
Yeah, have you lost your way? And the teacher's, like, eating it up. And initially not, but like, goes along with it. Which
yeah.
I'm going to say that's eating it up.
Yeah. And I will agree that I did get that sense that I wasn't sold on it as a viewer.
I wasn't sold on it initially. But later on, I think they did a good job with the teacher's character because they established that she's in a really bad place.
Right.
She's lost her like twin brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just totally...
They've established
right
an almost
now.
Spiritual connection that they had, and
yeah,
I think the only thing they could have done better is, and I know that this they were slowly rolling stuff out, but they might have wanted to get to that a little sooner.
Yeah, I can see that
because I could see how viewers early on are gonna be like, "What is this shit?" Like, okay,
yeah,
this doesn't even make sense.
And that's I mean that's kind of the nature of this. Stuff happens and it doesn't make sense. It makes a little more sense later.
Not completely,
but a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that's how I felt about the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, okay, her thing makes a little bit more sense now that I
as you
find
go.
A little more about her.
Yep, I enjoyed all the characters. I thought that
I like. Oh my god, I like the cute please Buck. Yeah,
Buck,
you know,
yeah.
I was gonna say Buck.
Yep,
Buck's
a very likable.
And the actor is a transgender.
Yep. Oh yeah, it's a boy's name, Arthur.
I can't remember
Alvin. I looked him up. Yeah, and that was.
I hope they give him more to do in a second season.
Yeah, because him and the other kid who live with his sister, who seemed to have a very tragic backstory with the parents.
Yeah,
like, they didn't get as developed as Steve and the overachiever kid and
mm-hmm.
the teacher. But they gave me enough to, like, some people I read some reviews are like, oh, I found it distracting, and I was like, no, like there need to be. You know what they didn't do, which I really respected. They didn't do the thing that I thought they would, which was draw almost direct parallels. Scott was parallel to Steve, and Homer was parallel, but they didn't do that.
No.
You know what I mean? And that was, I liked that. They were thrown together by fate to some
degree. All right, so let's talk about Steve for a second.
Okay.
Steve is the character that you are, it's like they're saying, I dare you to like this character. I fucking dare you to not
hate him. But he gets so much more humanized as the show
goes on. I know, but your introduction is like him punching a kid in the throat.
Well, it's fucking a girl and then punching a girl.
Yeah, fucking a girl while he's looking at himself in the mirror doing it.
And then like posing all like in the window naked.
I know.
And then punching the kid he thinks is dating her.
And you're like,
but I'll tell you what, the moment he punched the kid in the throat, I was like, aha. Okay, there is a vulnerability to this kid. He is very lonely, and he perceives this kid as a threat. He's completely wrong in multiple ways. Not even the right kid, but he perceives this kid as a threat because he wants the girl to actually like him.
Yeah, and then he's like dealing drugs to kids, to
yeah.
younger kids.
Yeah.
So
in
I
that
mean,
house.
The deck is stacking up against this guy,
and that might have been a little
with like this vicious attack
the
dog.
The attack dog that never came back. Where was the dog the rest of the show?
I don't know.
It was just there to bite Prairie, and then it was gone.
Yeah.
No, I think that was maybe a little heavy-handed.
Yeah.
It was like we're really gonna make you not like him because we want to redeem him later.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You know what I mean? But. Yeah. There were layers
and
to
like,
him.
Even up to like the last or even or second to last episode.
Oh, don't the stabbing of the pencil?
Yeah,
I thought that was perfect. Honestly,
I was going along with it, but it's still just one more thing for this guy.
But if at that point it felt justified. I mean, have you ever known like a troubled kid?
He's not just, I mean, I know he's not just troubled. He is like, he's legit
sociopathic
anger issue, and he knows it though.
Right. But have
he's aware of it.
You ever been friends with kids like that?
I don't think so.
I have. Not to that degree, because that degree rarely exists outside of prison.
Yeah, and I mean that's where I was going to go with this, because this is the kid that will end up in prison unless something drastic changes in his life,
which did, but a couple times.
But you see the horrible prison shows, and like they're full of the people like that who are adults. Like something happens to me and I have to beat up someone.
Right, it is a legitimate thing. I mean, again, I've never been stabbed in the leg by anyone, but I'm just saying like that. It felt like only an exaggeration of that need to act out that I have witnessed in my own life of kids who had whatever, imbalances, troubles, whatever your fucking political correct thing you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, especially the moment when he stabbed her, like, I thought the way they filmed it, like, you could see it. Like, he felt so betrayed. And he, like his hand, like, he had to hurt something. Mm-hmm. And, like, there was a pencil and there was her leg and she was holding him, which, you know, was a ballsy thing to do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I actually thought that was a very good... That was one of the most correct scenes for his character, to me.
Yeah.
That made just my take on it.
And obviously, it mirrored her scene with the dog.
Right.
The attack dog.
She tends
to
do
the dog
that.
Bites him and then she's, like, hugging the dog and, like... Bites her. She whispers or something.
She
doesn't hurt the dog at all.
No, well, you said the dog bites him. The dog bites her.
Yeah, the dog bites her.
She wins it over. She overwhelms it with, like, kindness.
Yeah, with angelness.
Right, with angelic attributes.
Something like that.
I'm +4 against for angels. I think a really interesting role-playing game. I get it. There were definite problems with Steve because it's a tough character. Remember when we watched the Rosie O'Donnell thing? Playing the mentally challenged woman.
Oh, God.
Right? Which I'm fairly positive. Pardon what I'm about to say, being incredibly insensitive, but I'm fairly positive the phrase, "you never go full retard," is referring to that movie. Because I know she was panned for portraying a mentally challenged person that completely stereotypically.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I felt like they were doing a character that, like, requires some real nuance. Like, that's like a Dustin Hoffman level kind of character.
Yeah.
And you're getting a kid to do it, and he's not, I mean, he's on IMDb, he's got some credits on IMDb, but I don't think many people his age are going to have the gravitas to pull that off, right?
Yeah.
So, I think he did the best he could. I think it was a tough character to write.
Mm-hmm.
The age was really tough to cast. So, I did, and I found myself forgiving a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And I try not to give free passes for bad writing, but I felt like they were doing so much that was so groundbreaking. And again, I keep coming back, it was so brave that I kept being like, you know what? I want to see more shit like this.
Yeah, I do too.
When you're pathfinding, trailblazing, let me go with pathblazing. it's a Nissan's Pathfinder with Ford?
Chevy Trailblazer.
Chevy Trailblazer. Yeah. It's the beautiful, their beautiful child, also the Ford Bronco. Which looks really... Have you seen the new Ford Bronco?
Do they have pictures of it yet?
Yeah,
I didn't think they'd had new,
it's pretty
new
rad.
Yet.
Justin showed it to me. I'll look it up later. Wow, we've really been talking about the OA for a while.
Should we skip to the end of the OA?
Skip to the end? Bride thing. I just want to finish this. So, when you have a show... And this is more of a general statement about the show. When you have a show that's doing so much that's new and different and brave and cool, I expect some of it to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a more erudite, educated way of looking at television than maybe the average viewer is going to have.
I would say more of stumbling than failing.
Okay.
Failures, more of a stumble.
I meant momentary.
But they're
failures.
Still walking. They're still running.
I'll give you stumbles because they were at a full out tilt. So if they, you know, stumbled a bit, they kept catching themselves. So yes, you're right. So there were those moments.
That stumble was just part of the dance routine.
It was just the fourth movement,
yeah,
which is so difficult. Anyway, so yeah, I didn't have a problem with Steve. The teacher was great. Steve was great. I really liked the overachiever kid. It was gotten a little tropey territory, but they all they all flirted with that, but then managed to surpass it.
All right. So yeah, I go along with that. So there are a lot of questions at the end. I mean, more questions than answers, I think.
So did you have any problems with the school shooter?
They didn't show his face. I don't think it matters. There's like, I've looked up some of this stuff.
But that was 100% intentional.
Yeah, I don't think the identity of the shooter matters.
Exactly. And Erica, so Erica and I at different points were doing we're very educated with the nuances of television because we watch so much of it. We're going to read into things, right? Mm-hmm. So there were times when I was like, something's about to happen, and then it wouldn't. I'd be like, they fooled me. Because I'm genuinely very good at that. To the point where I could be very annoying to watch television with. And even Erica's like, really? Because I'll call a plot an hour ahead of time. But that was the moment where she's like, there has to be more to it. And I'm like, I genuinely think the shooter did not matter.
Yeah.
Like, it literally was just a plot mechanic, and they were...
People are, like, saying, was it Hap? Like, no, why would this be Hap? It's done with her. Fuck that.
But
no.
That's the thing, is people wanted things to come together more completely, and it didn't need to.
And, almost, like, at the beginning of the last episode, partly because I've heard some of the complaints a little bit. I try to avoid stuff, but you're like, there's too much going on to wrap up in this one episode. There's just too much. It's not happening.
I think it was very, very unrealistic to expect it to wrap up because it's a fucking TV show that wants to continue.
Yeah.
And maybe that's an industry way of looking at it, but you can't rule that out.
So I'm going to make some calls. This is based on, you know, thinking about it and also reading some stuff about it.
Okay.
The red herring box of books, I think it's bullshit. I think the FBI guy planted it because he just shows up randomly in their house.
That was weird.
And that was weird.
Yes.
He said some weird things.
Weird stuff. Yeah. Eric and I both came away with, there's something not right about this guy.
Right. Yes. I think that's the case.
Because that box, and let's talk about the box for a second. It was ridiculous. Yeah. For that show. No, for that show to be that heavy handed.
Yes.
It was too literal. I get what I did there.
Yeah.
Literary.
when did she, at what point did she become able to read in English at that level?
Also, Never. Was a very recent Amazon box.
Yeah. But, I mean, you think about it, she was, she lost her sight when she was, like, 6 or 7.
Right.
So, if she were reading English, that would have been when she was a child.
But she was...
She didn't have anything to read. Right, I know, when she was in Russia.
Yeah.
She didn't have anything to read
between it's a really good point.
Then and coming and showing up back at her.
I think both Eric and I disregarded that immediately. We're like, no, this is pure, this is, even if it isn't going to have a more important plot point, which I think you're right, I think it does.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it doesn't, it is just not important. Like, it's not true.
Right.
And I that was just the impression I got.
So there's a sense that the FBI is in on this.
To somehow.
It has some nefarious thing going on.
At least that guy, yeah.
I think there are other forces at work. And to back this up, how many scenes were there in the old, and not the old house, in the new unfinished house, where the camera angle was like, oh, somebody's looking at you from behind these.
They got me with that a few times. There was one moment in the house where I turned to Erica and said, there's something, someone's going to show, like something's about to happen.
It didn't happen, but that really suggested that what's going on here is being monitored or is being watched by someone outside.
I can't agree with that completely. Right. Only because that, you know what that smacks of? That smacks of an intellectual's overanalysis, personally. I understand where it's coming from, and it actually gave me that feeling, but I don't actually think that's true.
All right.
We'll
see in season 2.
I'm not sure they were that smart
with
that was filmed. I mean, I could be wrong. Hey, if I'm wrong, that's awesome, because that's some smart fucking filmmaking.
So, I have no idea where they're going to go with season 2. Well, assuming there was a season 2.
There's going to be a season 2. I don't think you have to really just think of it from a business standpoint.
I know. I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to be burned again.
There are some things, Mike, you can just count on.
Okay.
The sun coming up and the second season of away. It's like everyone who was like, oh, God, I hope Stranger Things season 2. I was like, really? Are you fucking stupid?
Yeah,
that was. Of course they're going to renew it. Wait, what?
Ugh. All right. So, any question? My final question on this, a lot of people criticized it for having a lot of similarities to Stranger Things.
I think it was an inevitable comparison because of the weirdness and ingenuity, but I don't think that's a valid comparison at all. First of all, there's no way that one was influenced by the other.
Do you think they were filming roughly concurrently?
I think roughly. I mean, from what I've read about how Netflix does things, I mean, Stranger Things filmed in a bubble. They were completely cut off from the outside world. So they're and Britt Marling obviously had a very clear idea.
They've got their own bubble. They got their own fucking
very
bubble.
Much had their own shit going on. I think it had some interdimensional. There were some themes.
I think there were some superficial. But look,
moments. There's the Dante's Peak volcano thing. There's the Armageddon Deep Impact thing. Like, this happens. That shit's just out there. Sometimes it is actually one idea splitting two ways, or at some point, or some zeitgeist. Sometimes it fucking happens. But these are very different animals. I think the easiest reason that comparison happens is because they both centered around kids. But the age group is significantly older for kids in the OA.
Yeah.
So no, I do not think that that's a valid comparison. I think it's a very bad comparison to make, because I think you're going to be really
off. Yeah, I agree. And I think Stranger Things was so rooted in, let's make this an 80s movie.
But like,
and that was perfect, like, 80s movie. I know. But that was obviously their guiding vision.
And the OA never once used nostalgia that I noticed.
No, I don't think so.
But and Stranger Things used it like a fucking artist's brush. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they wielded it like extremely well and very intentionally. So, two very different things. I had no problem with the OA's ending.
I didn't either.
Zero. I never expected it to wrap completely. I like that Hap's still out there. I like that I don't know what the fuck's going on with them. I like that things are probably not going to be where you want it to be when she finally connects with them.
Mm-hmm. And they're really dancing along the edge of, is shit really happening with the five movements and the school shooter and her getting shot? Is this all just a coincidence, or is this really
her jumping in the river?
Jumping in that river.
Yeah,
and I think it has to be.
So Erica,
if it's not, then what the fuck, man? If it's not the real thing,
that's too much of a middle finger to the audience.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Erica had a really interesting thought.
Go ahead. To tag on to my thought, if they start up in second season, and they present you with the idea that maybe it wasn't the real thing, I'll go along with that.
Okay,
because I think that can be a challenge, and they've done this. You know, they've thrown out things like, this might not be real. I'm going to challenge you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And if they start off the second season with like, now she's in the mental institution,
right?
I'm going to be okay, because I know they're going to get back to the
mythology. That's pretty tropey, but yeah, they have a very strong
mythology. If they do that, no, I'm okay.
I agree with you, and they have actually sown the seeds of that exact thing. Yes. So, yes. Erica brought up something very interesting, and sure enough, she was wrong, but it was a really interesting theory because it made perfect sense. So remember when the dad was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that note. And then he said to his wife, did she write a note? And then
That
was a big moment. But when Erica looks at me and she goes, so multiverse theory, what if she's in the wrong? What if she's not in her original?
Oh yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. Yeah. Like, you can't, it's the Mandela effect, right? That stupid theory about it. I just thought about, like, I'm remembering.
We'd be missing a chunk if that were the case.
No, it wasn't true, but it was a very interesting, and at that moment, it was completely credible to think that. And they could still, she could connect with them, but the wrong versions of them.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And now that they've introduced the whole multiverse mythology.
Moving through them, too. Yeah. Like, you have to. You can't, it didn't seem like you can control it.
Yeah, well, which seemed that's really dangerous. We don't know. We have no idea.
Right.
But because that the multiverse thing has been introduced, they could literally just go fucking anywhere in the next season.
Yeah. They could tell the same story again, but slightly differently.
I would rather they didn't.
I don't think they will. I'm just saying, yeah, when you get into that, but they have to know that shit can get very dangerous very quickly in terms of good storytelling.
Right. But we've got solid things. We know that there's some like super bad out there.
Mm-hmm.
Some super dark, bad, evil thing that's floating around. It's not Hap.
It's not Hap. No, Hap feels like the first level boss.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely seems like there's conspiratorial, larger, dark force.
There's larger, dark forces. There's like something really bad out there. The FBI is probably like a mid-level boss that's floating around.
It could just be that one dude.
Yeah, I don't think so. There's probably conspiracy going on.
Yeah.
And we know that there was another scientist doctor guy who was working on the same thing.
So when I was watching that, Eric and I are like, so like how has he, you know, how far can he talk about this without revealing what he's doing? And then we're like, oh, Oh no, they're completely on the same page with this.
Yeah, and as soon as that happened, like one of them's gonna die. This guy's gonna be dead.
But again, that's another like there were those moments where I got that like chill on my spine, like they're breaking a boundary right now.
Yeah,
like I know what normal television, even good television, would do, and they've just surpassed that. So that's really cool and dangerous and risky for them. All right,
and the Rings of Saturn.
Yeah,
I'm throwing my arms up on that one.
I know, and that kind of felt like a throw your arms up kind of moment. It's like, guys, that's not even necessary right now.
I agree. You didn't need to throw that in there, but okay, whatever.
Whatever.
It sounds like the fucking Rings of Saturn where
it,
they are.
It, you know, it kind of, and then, you know what, it probably will end up being important, but I kind of had the feeling of like, when I look at that, that feels like the box of books. It's like, I'm disregarding this. It's just a little too crazy town for me to cope with. And again, I'm totally behind the show, so do whatever you want. I'm on for the ride, but it's like, I can't really assume you're going to do that because that's kind of dumb. But then again, they're angels, and maybe angels are all, maybe heaven is Saturn. No. And it's a really nice car.
Who knows?
So yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm very much looking forward to the next season.
Me too.
We finished it very quickly, which is not like us.
Yeah, it us too. I mean, for us, you know, you finished in like two nights, I think.
No, it took us like a week. Okay. I was pushing.
It was faster than we got through it.
Yeah, well, you guys were moving fast, and you just stopped the last two episodes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
My wife is like, I can just watch. All I can watch now is Bob's Burgers, which is fine. Bob's Burgers is a great show.
But she's got some transition happening. Yeah.
I'll talk about this for a second because she's gonna. This is all out in the open.
Is that so? That's happened.
Oh yeah, this is how'd that go. We're camping. This is gonna be her last week at her current job.
Oh.
She's gonna be starting a new job.
That's exciting. She's excited, right?
Yeah. At the time of this broadcast, she will be at her new job
for a week.
Yeah. It's
2 weeks from now.
Okay. And it's cool because she's going to be working at a bank.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's really cool because when people ask me what my wife does,
you can actually explain it.
I can actually explain it like in one sentence in like three lines. I have three words, I think.
Wow.
Four words. She works at, and then where she works.
Oh.
Which is the name of the bank.
Are they going to assume she's a bank teller then?
Well, okay.
I think you're going
to
need...
God damn it. Now I have to add like another sentence.
Yeah, Smike, I'm being a little simplistic here. I need you to be in an OA level.
She runs the website. Which she kind of does.
You can still do that for in one sentence. You just can't do four words.
Okay. Anyway.
She runs the website at... Yeah, you can do it in six words.
Okay, good. It's still a big step up from her where she is working now. Or has worked for the last few years, where I have to explain, oh, no, they do this and they do billing for this. They're not really this a company that works in that market, but they do billing for the other companies and whatever.
Mm-hmm. And then she does this job, and this job.
Yeah.
But her title's this job.
Yeah.
She's paid for that
job. Too much. It's too much. No, people have like stopped listening to me by that point.
Yeah. I had to learn how to explain my job in a way that completely did not explain my job at all, because it's like, well, gotta check in with the audience.
Yep. So that's good.
So she gave notice, they didn't freak out? Because she was really not looking forward to that.
Yeah, they're freaking out, but it's done.
It's not.
It's done. Yeah. The done deal.
Yep. Good.
Good.
Well, I know she was some agita there, so I'm glad she got through it.
Yeah.
You and your wife and change are not simpatico.
Well, I'm okay with change, but...
Your house, Mike.
What?
Your house.
What about it?
How long did it take you to buy that house? How many serious conversations did I have to sit and listen to with you and your wife talking about buying a house? No.
We were waiting for the right house.
You and your wife and change do not go together.
We were
and
waiting
happy.
For the right... We do oh, things... Oh, my God. Perfectly when once all the ducks are lined up,
so in denial,
then we fire the shot and then all the ducks fall down and something like that.
Denial is not just a river in Egypt.
All right, I'm sure there are ducks in it though.
Yeah, probably. And they don't like change either. I'm gonna call them Smike and Mel ducks. What
are we, is that it? Are we OA'd out?
Well, we're right at the hour mark.
We are? Okay. Yeah. You got anything else going on? You going to Austin anymore?
Yeah, actually, I'm going in a couple of weeks.
Oh, man.
Let's see, when this airs...
How
sick of me is Austin right now?
Yes. How sick of traveling are you now?
Actually, when this airs, I will, like, just have gotten back. I don't mind Austin. I love the people I work with.
Yeah?
And I'm not just saying that because I just found out that a lot more of my coworkers and I think listen to this podcast. And... I'm not sure if
I wasn't talking about your coworkers. I'm just talking about traveling.
No, I fucking hate traveling with a passion for work. I love traveling with family for pleasure. I hate traveling for work. But that's because I bring my own baggage with me, literally and figuratively. this is funny. So I was going to bring this up.
Oh, thank God we're going to have a funny story.
Oh, thank Jesus Christ. This is the most boring. Oh, God, two comedians. More like two snoozerians.
I just pity the poor people who didn't watch OA at all, like listening through this whole thing.
What
did you listen to this?
Fuck you. Yeah. Like, no, at this point, go fuck yourself. By the way, there's one like 13-year-old who liked our page. And I have no idea who she is.
Oh, that's so I'm creepy. Like,
she probably just likes it because we curse a lot. That's my assumption. So, right on. You're fucking awesome, kid.
Well, I hope you watched the OA, kid.
Oh, she did, I'm sure.
Yeah.
She seemed cool.
And if you didn't watch I'm going to stop talking about the OA. No more OA.
I think we've talked a lot about
the OA. I'm done.
Anyway,
tell the funny story.
Out of nowhere. So, you know, work likes to troll me.
It's hilarious already.
They fuck with me all the time. So I get this email from my boss. And it's my boss emailing his boss, my boss's boss, the head of our department. Copying me in. And it's like, I can only find the latest 10 episodes of his podcast, but this is Mike's podcast. There's no thread. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm like looking back and I'm like trying to expand the email. There's no like history of this conversation. So very like nonchalantly, I'm just like... I assume there's some lead up to this conversation. Like, not, I was a little freaked out, but not exact. Because I'm like, they might just be fucking with me. Because Tom, my boss, has known that I have a podcast for a while. And he's always been like, I don't really want to listen to it because I like to have that separation. But now, like, my boss's boss, who, like, I had a shouting match with about Rogue One for our one-on-one. our skip level one-on-one. He even prefaced it. He's like, I hated Rogue One. I can't wait to fucking talk to you about that.
Oh, no.
And it was just like, you are an idiot, Michael. You don't know what you're talking about. He's like, no, Mike, you're an idiot. And we just kept going back and forth about it.
Well, now you're going to have this identical conversation about the OA.
So, of course, I'm like, fuck. So how much have I talked about work in this podcast? I don't think I've been that bad. So I was just like, oh, my job is legitimately trolling me now. Like, just fucking with me all the time. But I thought that was funny.
I'm hilarious. Yeah.
I laughed. I cried. It was better than cats. Your turn or mine?
Go ahead. I might have done it. I think I did it last time.
Did you?
All right. I feel that. And as you're reading it, I will be doing a movement based on the words.
Please do. Buddies in the Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit Stolen Dress. I'm only laughing because you're making slapping. You're moving so fast and hard.
You have to. That's how movements work.
You're slapping body parts, but not like that. You did it. You like slapped your thigh with your forearm. Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books. So I'd like to describe. So Smike is in some ways doing actual movements of the show and then also doing like the go-to interpretive dance movements. I'm pretty sure he flicked sweat off of his brow in each direction separately. And then there was some praying to Mother Gaia. I'm fairly positive. You look exhausted now.
I can only... I didn't even have to imagine, because I was reading an interview with that actor who played Homer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of his name.
He's like, I was exhausted.
But yeah, they type... Yeah, we work so hard on those things. And you can see, because when they do it...
They're drenched.
Yeah.
I was trying to think about it. I was like, they did that, like, when they bring Scott back to life, like, they do it all night.
Yeah.
Like, that, I can't even physically imagine doing that. And I work out.
But just doing the, you know, the filming for
it. Yeah, yeah.
Because you see it in the last episode when they do it at the school.
Yeah.
They're like, they are perfectly in sync.
They did, yeah. Actually, it was not bad dance technique. There's just one other thing I want to say about the OA, and that is I was totally in that moment, right, where they're all doing the movements and it's stopping the gunman, but all I could think was like a Dave Chappelle style, and someone's going to do this. But all I could see was...
There's going to be such a hilarious SNL skit about this.
It's got to. But
if there hasn't been already.
Right. Well, I think it's still a little recent. I think there's like a statute of limitations. Like, you kind of have to wait on a Netflix show because it's like, well, when how many people binge? Like, there has to be a ratio you can figure out. But all I could think, like, I was totally into it, but part of me, like, the goofy part of my brain just wanted to do a scene where it cuts to the gunman just sitting there like, what the fuck are you guys doing? No, seriously. What the fuck? Did you practice this somewhere? We were like an abandoned house practicing this shit. You're all moving at the same time. You're way too good at this. I just wanted to see, because I didn't think there was anything mystical happening to him. I think he legitimately was walking around with a fucking machine gun and was about to open fucking fire and was just like, these people are crazier than I am. That was my take on that scene. did I tell you that the Firefly thing, they're not doing only main characters?
Oh, so there's a lot more.
I'm just fucked. They're doing peripheral characters already. I thought they'd do the main crew and then get to peripheral characters. Nope. So like Saffron's next. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Who's the hook on route? Here's the hook. Reel it in. There was definitely a
shut up and take my money.
Great.